This is Dr. Feelgood from the Institute for the Not Yet Mentally Insane, here to warn you about potential side effects that listening to Nightmares with Malice Cooper may cause. You can suffer breaking out in a cold sweat, difficulty breathing, erectile dysfunction, bedwetting, violent convulsions, decrease in brain cells, random bowel movements, stroke, loss of hair, loss of consciousness and or sanity, and last but not least, possible death. If you suffer from any of these, please seek medical attention. But as always, keep it tuned in right here to Nightmares with Malice Cooper.
Johnny G should be calling me any second now. Called me from a payphone, apparently with a calling card. Earlier, at 20 minutes after 5, to which case I said, "Hey, dude, you're like totally early. You know? Like, because you're to call now. Because it's like, see? Top of the hour. Yeah. Just like that. All ready for you to call, Johnny. Johnny G. Yo, Johnny G. Pick up the phone." No, musicians don't do that, Lestat. They don't. I'm talking to Lestat. Actually, he should call me. We have plenty to talk about. Rhinos and everything. Rhino butts. Oh my goodness. It's Monday though. We have to give Johnny cut him some slack here. Because he was at work, he said. And he's going to a payphone. See, people call me from weird places. So, you have to cut him slack. Because that's just the way it is. They're musicians or ghost hunters. I mean, those guys, they could be pinned to a wall and they're phoning me, you know. It's like, "Hey, Malice, like, this ghost has me up against the wall and it's pretty cool, but not really." No, that doesn't happen. Well, not really. Okay, it's happened, but still, not really. Or I could be lying. I'm not sure. Maybe it did happen, and I forget. Johnny G, there you are. Johnny G, is that you?
Hey, what's up?
All right, it's you. We're on air. We're live. Far away.
Hey.
What's going on over there?
Oh, not much. Not much. Weather's good here. Yeah. How's it going?
So you're at work.
It's been a... I'll start with, anyway, I started playing when I was, probably 14 years old, I guess. Played guitar for probably 10 years until my first band. I think my first record was, Black Sabbath, Master Reality, Led Zeppelin, Physical Graffiti.
Hmm.
So two records that I, first song I think was, I can't think of it. But anyway,
it's Monday. Don't worry. Nobody can think.
After that, you know, I was 18 years old. My first band. I don't kind of went straight from playing in my bedroom to playing in, you know, clubs and stuff. I learned all on my own. I read music now. Every time, you know, when I teach students, I don't really. Most people want to learn by ear. Even Eddie Van Halen learned by ear. It's funny.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, you know, looking back now, I guess it's good to know both. But, you know, even today, when I pick up a song, I just learn it by ear. I don't really, I use the rewind button, you know, learn a song in 5 minutes, and basically that's it. So ritual is basically, you know, heavy metal band in 1985. You know, J.D. Diamond was on vocals, Danny Higgins on bass, Danny Higgins on drums, Andrew Bergstrom on bass. And, you know, we played the New York area, made a record, Alpha Studios, Angel of Metal. And basically after that, like a long story short, the band broke up because of the singer. But my luck, that's happened with every band. So at that point, I started a studio with the bass player, just opened up a recording studio up in Rapid County, over here in New York. That was in the 90s. Basically, heavy metal died, I guess, 1989?
Something like that.
1990 about. And that's when we decided just to, do the recording thing. And then that got old. The bass player partner in the studio, he wound up going into the army. He moved out west with his wife. So I went back to my roots to the Bronx, and I started the band Meridian down in the Bronx. And that was in 1993. Oh, sorry about that. I'm in a payphone here.
That's okay.
So after that, I started Meridian from the Bronx, the band with Rod Howard on drums. I was on guitar. Never had a rhythm guitarist, actually, till now, which I'll get into. I've always been a one-guitar band, doing all my guitars on my own. Going back, actually, my main influence has been Yngwie Malmsteen all along. If I would have to say the 2-3 influences, no matter where I go, what I do, what I'm playing, no matter what I'm thinking about, it's Randy Rhoads, Yngwie Malmsteen, and Ritchie Blackmore. I mean, that's like, Jimmy Page too. I learned Physical Graffiti when I was first learning, but, it's just those three guitar players influence everything I do over and over. So anyway, Meridian, basically, Johnny Bochina's on vocals, Rob Howard on drums, they on guitar, and Mitch Todd on bass. We had another bass player who passed away, Andy, rest in peace, but, again, that band broke up because of the singer. We did an album. The drummer opened up a studio after that, Timepiece Studios out of the Bronx. That was a Roddy Howler. I'd worked with him a lot, stuff here and there, I guess life happens, I went back to school in 1998, and that's when I didn't stop playing guitar. What I did was I started playing country,
Oh, no.
I played metal one night, I guess. That was 1998 when I went back to school. So, metal was really good and dead, Like, we even had the body, there was like a body, the dead metal body. It was just, horrible. But then I remember Great White was playing a show over here in Ohio, and there was, it was a big thing. Oh, metal's coming back. Thank God that horrible thing happened with the fire, and that was like, I kind of buried metal even more, couple good songs were coming out right before 9/11. I remember they got pulled off the air because of the, the gestures that were correlated, I guess, to people. 9/11.
Their content.
So, a lot of bad hits for heavy metal. So whatever, I stayed in school, and finished school. Like I should have when I was out of high school, but I didn't. I was in a band, so I went to college when I was out of high school, but I never finished college.
What'd you take?
I'm sorry?
What did you take?
Oh, I took basically law, business, guitar, criminal justice, law, business, guitar, stuff like that. I wound up with a business degree out of Manhattan College. And
so you got your business degree and you didn't use it? You got your degree and you didn't use it?
I never got the degree in music. No. I was going to go to Juilliard. I was going to do that thing, but, I don't know. I've had a lot of students, and I teach on the side. I don't know, Eric Carr was the producer for the band Harry Carey.
Mm-hmm.
Two good friends of mine, Laurie Gilzette, and Cerise. Laurie Gilzette and Cerise. But Laurie was a student of mine back then. You know, it's like nobody ever wanted to, like, learn music. Everybody just wanted to learn by ear and play, so. That's what I was always best at doing that, so. I just never, you know, did the brief thing.
Huh.
I don't know.
I mean, you had the opportunity to do it, and you just weren't, you weren't into it. But then again, because you play by ear, there's a, I mean, the ability to do that, most people don't understand. Like, you're not,
oh, yeah.
You're not really thinking, you're, you know what you're supposed to play, you know how it goes, and you're automatically just playing it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that today. It's funny how, like, when you're young and you just listen to the song because it's, like, so great, you listen to all the instruments coming at you, and you don't really single out the one thing that you need to listen to and learn and critically, like, break apart and study. It's just like, you know, maybe it's, I guess when you get older, you get wiser or something, but the, it's like, today when I listen to seven, like, you know, Dan gives me a tape, I learned a song in one night, any song in one night, it's like, I can just, like, pick it out critically by ear, I can just almost separate it like it's on a mixer board, you know, on a final mix or something. It's just, my ear just pulls it right out now, you know, I couldn't do that when I was young. You know,
yeah.
I would learn music, I would learn songs, and I would learn, like, you know, like, whatever, like, say, the Chill Provider, man, and I learned it note for note, like most metalheads did. But, you know, there's always, like, one or two notes. Well, I never heard that when I was young, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? And then you hear it now, it's like, there it is.
Yeah.
It's not that it's hard to play, you just never heard it.
There's some songs that have, like, dogs barking and stuff that I've picked out recently, and it was like, what? No way! You know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it happens a lot, definitely.
Yeah.
It's like, but, you know, I encourage, like, young guitar players starting out to definitely learn music with it, even if they don't, like, agree with it or going to use it, like, you know, right away, always just learn the theory with it, because, and not just the, you know, not just the transposing notes on the guitar, but the whole musical theory. You know, to where you can take a piece of piano music and translate it on guitar, you know?
Yeah.
Which is not really difficult to do. It's like, it's, you know, it's just a matter of...
it's transposing, regardless. It's transposition from one instrument to another.
Yeah. Well, you know, country taught me a lot. I guess I would have to say the Eagles were my crossover band, you know, like when I'm...
Cool.
The song was Lion Eyes, you know, and, like I said, I got into country in the 90s. Metal Dive, I guess Merle Haggard, Jimmy Rogers, you know, early Jimmy Rogers, stuff like that. I mean, it was that's just incredible music. I'm not a fan of today's country, no thank you. You know, 80s country, there was some great stuff, George Strait, maybe Garth Brooks, you know, going on a limb there. But, I learned a lot from country, I tell you, because the next year, well, first of all, maybe, like, stop the distortion. You know, like, not play with a distortion box and, you know, finger picking and regular just open chords and all that good stuff, you know. You know, I build amps too, actually. I'm doing a pro on my Johnny G. Facebook. I have a Let the Marshals Do the Talking group forum, which I'm actually doing a prototype. It's going to be called the Gottwald Stack. It's going to be a prototype amplifier of Marshall. It's across the tune of Marshall. The 16-8 Marshall, basically, and a bass amp, basically. Kind of like the same thing Jim Marshall did, but I worked with a guy named Ken Fisher. He was the original engineer down for Amtech.
Huh?
And the original SBT, and he started one of the best amplifier companies in the world, Tenorix Circuits. Ken Fisher, rest in peace. They can't tell me everything I knew. So, That's another thing I'm really a big thing about is, you know, tube amplifier. You know, so many guitarists, like, have this really bad sound with these really bad solid-state amps, you know. Everything is, like, a digital file now and this and that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, everything is a smartphone this and smart... digital's great for video, you know?
Yeah.
If you want to watch TV, I think it's great. But when it comes to music, it's really not great for me. But, you know, matter of choice. There are some good South State heads out there, but I'm a tube amplifier enthusiast all the way.
Cool.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just said cool. I was just...
Yeah.
So, keeping along
yeah,
with you.
Know. Go ahead.
I was just keeping along with you.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
I don't want to give up the subject, but anyway, yeah, I would definitely teach people to, advise people to read music nowadays. But anyway,
well, just in a little last while, you were really busy doing a whole bunch of stuff with in the last little while. You've been trying
recently?
To call in. Yeah. Because you're doing things with Think, right?
Yeah, Think. That's like a band, Think. Basically, that's out of, basically a band out of the Windsor, New York. It's funny. The story with that is that I was looking, we were looking to actually start a Dio tribute band. Okay.
So,
quick story. So, you know, it's like I put an ad out. And I had the musicians, you know, of course. Couldn't find a singer. It's always the story. So all my bands broke up. Anyway, I put an ad out for a singer, you know, in the local Craigslist here in the New York City area. And it's like, desperately seeking Dio, I put out. And, you know, we already know that Vinny and Peace, you know, they got to use two singers when they play out live. You know, the Dio disciples just to create Dio, one little voice. Well, not little. Dio is a little person with a big voice. Oh, rest in peace. You know, just to create his voice, they need two people on stage. So, I guess that tells you it's pretty hard to do. Maybe one story short, never happened. We tried out two people at the studio, and they really flopped out. You know, and, stay long story short, the studio owner heard us, you know, talking to us, and then he became the singer. He tried out. He became the singer. We do a Dio song, do two Dio songs, do Holy Diver and Rainbow in the Dark. And so that's basically
cool.
That. And I didn't get my Dio cover band.
That's
and yeah, if I could still find someone desperately sick of Dio that could do a Dio, I would do it. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Yeah. It's
That's going to be hard to find, though. I mean, there's not many Dios. There's just not.
At all.
Vocalist-wise, these days? I mean, those kids want to do, like, rap stuff.
People lost the emphasis on singing. Yeah, they call it girling now, I guess, what they did in the 90s. It was sing from the lower range, I guess, as opposed to the higher.
Yeah.
It's someone like Dio who was doing both, you know. It was just incredible. I don't saw anybody like him. I saw him in 1996 with Jakey Lee. I mean, Vivian Campbell, and so National Coliseum, incredible. Incredible show, Vivian Campbell.
And who else have you played with, like, recently?
Well, anyway, Meridian, you know, like I said, broke up. You know, singer went off to do his thing, you know. I finished school, so, you know, jump forward, I guess, to 5 years ago, and it was like, metal's coming back, you know, it's all coming back, you know, a lot of good bands come, Killswitch Engage, you know, Breaking Benjamin, so many good bands coming up now. So, anyway, I was living in Albany, New York. I bought a house up there, and it's like, you know, I'm from New York City, so it's like, that's the wilderness to make it, the contrast.
Cool.
I was like, I gotta get out of here. I can't go anywhere up here. So I sold my house and moved down to Poughkeepsie, which is close to New York. And so there was an ad out. Fifth Avenue Vampires put an ad out for Summer Wanted and Guitars. They had it out for a while, for a year or two.
Really?
So I answered it, and you know, going back and forth with the singer Joe Vanti. Fifth Avenue Vampires is actually started by Dennis Dunaway and Richie Scott. Dennis Dunaway being original bassist for Alice Cooper, Richie Scarlett, you know, David Mountain, Joe Vanti, Richie Scarlett, Dennis Dunaway, and the drummer, is Russ Wilson. So, anyway, I answered the ad, and went back and forth with Joe, so I wound up, we wanted to start a show, I wound up putting a drummer in, and a keyboardist that I found in an ad I put out, and so, we basically played for 2012, playing Chiller Theater at the end last year, which was a great show. It's done really good, and it's on YouTube. I'm going to probably link that, hopefully, so people can see it with, you know, the radio files. So, because obviously most people can listen to it later if they're not listening to it now, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, anyway, after that, you know, after Chiller Theater last year, you know, I went my way, so... My drummer actually stayed with them and is with them now. They're still playing currently. I don't think they're playing Chiller Theater this year. They're not. There's a lot of people playing Chiller Theater this year. Oh God, Lou Graham from Foreigner's coming. Ace Frehley's playing. Richard Scarlett's playing.
Wow.
Weird Al Yankovic is playing.
You're kidding.
But Smithereens are playing. They're coming. The 5678. They're kind of a horror rock band from Japan, old girl band they're playing. So there's a lot of bands playing. 2 years ago, I think it was now. Yeah, 2 years ago, Alice Cooper had played.
Huh.
Yeah. But you know, Joe Vatti is, you know, really good. You know, male version of you know, the Alice Cooper cover thing. So obviously, with Dennis Dunaway being in there. So the thing with that was is that the record they put out was called Drawing Blood. With, you know. Like I said, Richard Scarlett, Dennis Dunaway, Joe Vatti, and Russ Wilson. What a great record. I had to learn the whole thing, you know, for the band. And excellent produced record. It was done in Mount Vernon at the studio. And I've got the guy, the producer's name is in my head. I'll think of it in a minute. But excellent record. You know, Richard Scarlett is an awesome guitar player. You know, I had a... You know, learn all his music, and it was a pleasure. Really well written, really well played record, Drawing Blood, which is the first Fifth Avenue Vampires production. Joe is working on a new record now. And Jason Fresta is the bass player now. He replaced Dennis Dunaway. Jason Fresta is the lead guitar player and the vocalist for Dead Alvi. And, they're basically the headline band at Chiller Theater every year. If people don't know, Chiller Theater is like the ultimate Halloween party. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, same thing from when we were kids. Chiller Theater, you know, exactly the goal. Plays with Dead Alvi every year, and just really great. It's held twice a year now, once in April, once in Halloween. So it's actually twice a year, but obviously Halloween is the best Halloween party on the planet. Well, arguably.
Sounds cool.
I guess if Alice Cooper's there, it's the best, right?
Yeah.
But can't be there every year. But no. It's going to be a great show this year. I would advise anybody, if they could, to get out there. It's held in Parsippany, New Jersey. And it's basically, they found a new home, permanent home, which is great. It's the Sheridan Castle in Parsippany, New Jersey. And it's literally a castle. I mean, there's like 5,000 rooms in this place.
Wow.
And there's like, you know, corridors going out in every direction. Like it is a castle. It's like a modern built one, so it's really cool. Stage is really great. You know, great sound crew there, great house crew. I worked with them. Actually worked with them last year also. Last April, I worked with them doing sound for a band. I didn't play. But, yeah, they do a great production. It's the bottom line there. And it's a great time. Great party, great costumes, great gets. And by the way, it's actually the horror film industry, you know, the 3-day horror film industry festival. That's what it is. And on Saturday night is when they have the bands play. So obviously Saturday night is the big climax. Starts Friday night and Sunday. So that's what it is. And should be great. Joe Vatti will be there this year. I'm not sure. They play. Actually, last April, 6 months ago, Joe Vatti had played with Kane Roberts. Kane Roberts is Alice Cooper's guitar player.
Right.
I met him there. He was there in April. And him and Joe, they did, it's on YouTube, they did they did School's Out was Dead Elva at the background, Joe Vatti on vocals, and Kane on guitar. So that was pretty cool. Really cool.
No doubt.
Yeah, Kane Roberts is a really nice guy. He went off to be a computer engineer doing cartoons and stuff after he left Alice Cooper. So he's back. He's trying to finish his last record. And I think he's got it done by now, I hope. I haven't caught up with him lately, but I know he's been trying to finish that. So, yeah, it should be great. Another thing I wanted to touch with you on that, another big issue, thing that we're talking about, bands, now. You know, the market here, like I said, we got the New York City market here for bands, and then we got, 60 miles out, which is the suburbs. But it seems like, anywhere in New York City or close to New York City, these kids today, they got to pay to play. It's now they didn't want you to bring, 20 people following, and it's understandable, but it's they're not even getting paid, It's people, there's so many musicians, I guess, that are just offering to play with flooding the market, you know what I mean?
Yep. I sure do.
go ahead.
It's unfortunate that I know what you mean. It really is. But I don't know how to fix the problem. They've raised alcohol prices. They raised alcohol prices. So people are going, let's just have house parties.
Yeah, that's not good.
And so your band is playing for a house party now, more than you're playing on a stage.
Do they charge cover-up charges up there?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But, you can't get anybody... I don't even know how any of these bars, at this point, any of the clubs right now, I have no idea how they're staying afloat. From what I've seen in the last little while, I don't know how they're staying afloat.
I haven't seen them making the money from the alcohol.
But there's nobody there to drink it. There's nobody there to drink it, John.
The venue owners, as you said.
If nobody shows up to drink it, you're not selling any alcohol.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Yeah,
it's just crazy. They want a guaranteed following us down here. It's
Yeah, I do know. Same up here. It's not any different. And plus, because you're American, you have to pay Canada $500 per band member or something just so you guys can play here to the clubs now. Because they want to keep it Canadian content, apparently. Which is I don't even know what to say. Everything has gone so fucky, I can't even...
So what's the exchange rate there? What's the American dollar there? Is what, a dollar? A Canada, or it's more or less?
I think your dollar's worth less.
Yeah, I would imagine that. that's basically the trend everywhere. American dollars drop in value because there's nothing behind it to back it. So up there, what's a beer cost? Three Canadian dollars? $4 Canadian dollars?
Oh, I think they're up anywhere between $6 and $8 now.
Oh, wow.
Depending on where you are or where you're going. If you're going to concerts... You're paying more for your beer. It's crazy. It's just...
You can wear that in Manhattan, but not up, 60 miles in the suburbs. They don't do that.
It's just gone completely mental. That's the best I can describe it. Because I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't know how to fix it.
You're talking about the Winnipeg market, right?
Well, it's the only one I know. it's not like I can leave when there's no pay anywhere.
Yeah.
How do you go anywhere? You have to have money first. Well, I don't have any money.
there's no question. They need the bands there to attract the people, to sell the alcohol,
Actually, no, they have an established business that should have its own clientele. We're just the entertainment.
We're not
the recruit your people to come to your bar things.
Yeah.
We're just musicians. We're stupid. Just leave us be and let us play. Okay?
Exactly.
That's all we want to do. We don't want to plan out how many people of our friends are going to come there so that you have somebody in your bar. That's wrong. That's not how it should be.
There's a girl from Long Island that sent me a post. I tried to repost it. I wasn't successful, but make a long story short. The Facebook is banning the notification of the likes now if it's a band that's registered or something. And, you know, it's like, I mean, they're doing this because what they're going to do is charge. They're going to ultimately charge band for advertising. It's the bottom line. That's what they're going to do. That's crazy.
Everybody wants their hands in our pockets, and our pockets are empty. Like, hello. You can swipe your bank card up my ass as much as you want, but you're not going to get any money out. You know? And they don't seem to understand. We're bands. We're eating peanut butter.
The love of it.
We're living off of peanut butter. Thank you. Now.
It's funny because, you know, it's like that's, you know, my current band think it's like, you know, I got these guys are like talented, unreal, all of them. It's just like,
exactly. They should be making at least union prices.
They just want to play covers. They want to play for free. They want to play covers. They want to, you know, be in the spotlight. They don't want to get paid. Just worry about, you know, the fun, which is great. Yeah, it's great, but it's just, you know.
Yeah, but who wants to haul a drum kit, 2 amps, 3 amps, cabinets?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly. That
props.
Exactly. You definitely got to get
free.
The bills paid. Yeah.
Like, there's work involved. Can we get roadie pay? How about roadie pay? That would be 50 bucks a piece, at least.
Yeah, exactly. Just the expenses alone.
Right? Just at least give us roadie pay.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm not a musician. I'm the roadie right now. Give me the pay for being a roadie. Yeah. Oh, wait. They don't need roadies because band members do it for free. And the love of music. Biggest cop-out in the whole entire history of mankind.
Exactly.
I'm sick of their cop-out.
You don't even get paid, for it. It's like, you know.
Well, I'm wearing clown makeup, so I think I should charge them at least $200 for being a clown.
Yeah.
At least that.
Yeah, well, the thing with Chill Theater is such a huge exposure. I mean, the exposure there is just, it's phenomenal. So, you know, it's not only would bands will do it for free, they would pay to go to play there, but, you know. Then again, it's not right. You got bands that play there that are big that need to get paid. So, you know, which they do, but, you know, I'm just saying, you know, it's like, a lot of people do it just for the publicity, which is worth it, you know, a show like that. But not in a little bar, you know.
Okay, well, we have a minute left. What do you want to say?
Yeah, I think I got through everything, pretty much. Basically, I'm in a studio now, you know, we're going to be, well, real quick, I'm just going to do really three records or three songs instead of one full record, which I'll wind up doing next year. I'm just going to do, like a modern rock thing, you know, hard rock, modern rock kind of thing, then I'm going to be doing like a horror rock thing kind of thing, and then I'm going to be doing like a country thing, so, country blues, I should say.
All right.
I'm working with Holly Fine Producers, his name, Super 70 Studio out of Beacon, New York. Great guy. You know, all analog. All Soundcraft, old board, great stuff. Unbelievable sound he gets there. So, that'll be fun. I'm working on that now, basically, my other band.
Well, so, thanks a lot for being here. Thanks a lot for being here today. And
thank you. And,
take care of yourself.
Standard this year.
I'll talk to you later on Facebook and get this all to you after the show.
Yeah, cool. Well,
okay.
Definitely.
All right, cool.
Yeah, in fact, I'll be sending you my, when I'm done with it, I'll, you know, whatever, attach it to there. I'm done with the
all right.
record.
Take care.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Talk
I'll talk
to you
on Facebook.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Accelerate. Girls like to rock. No, they do. I'm positive of it.